What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 54 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, Heirs with a Glorious Future. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 read as follows. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Our text today is from Romans 8, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, Paul speaks about the inheritance of the believer, and in verses 17 through 25, the suffering that comes from following Christ. The link to these two realities is verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. As one scholar said, the promise found here is both spectacular and scary. It's spectacular because it says that all the children of God inherit from God His inheritance, as if God were to die and leave behind His estate. Only He doesn't die. He just gives you the estate. So what is God's estate? Everything. He owns everything. So this is a big inheritance. This is a spectacular promise. And it's scary because it says you will not inherit it without suffering. So those are the two halves of the verse, the spectacular half and the scary half. And I think almost all spectacular things come with scary parts. And so it doesn't surprise me that that's part of Romans 8:17. When Christ adopted you into his family, you entered with full rights to everything Jesus has, which includes identifying with his suffering. Isn't our relationship with Jesus worth whatever we must temporarily endure on earth for what we will gain and forever enjoy in heaven? However, even if there was no spiritual inheritance, which there is an enormous one, isn't his love for you enough to cause you to want to persevere for your Lord and Savior? Our salvation alone, where God forgave us our sins and invited us into a relationship with him, is more than enough to inspire us to sacrifice for him. That mindset is what I believe caused Paul to say, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." That's from verse 18. Charles Swindoll makes the following observation. Few people have enjoyed a more intimate relationship with God than Paul. Few have experienced the joy that he reported in his letters throughout his ministry. Yet few have suffered more than he. His unguarded words to the believers in Corinth summarize just some of his hardships. You can check out 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. Paul realized that the groaning of creation was temporary, yet was a consequence of sin. He also realized that God would one day set creation free from bondage that has lasted for ages. Through it all, Paul knew that as adopted children, our created bodies would be redeemed. That was Paul's hope that began when he was saved. We can't see it yet, but that day of resurrection is coming. If we could see it now, we would not need hope. However, one day we will receive our full inheritance as God's children. So we patiently wait with ever-growing anticipation. Some questions to consider. When you consider what verse 17 says about suffering as a believer, what concerns come to your mind? How can Paul's perspective on suffering encourage you through the trials of this life? And finally, how does your faith in the unseen future stir your hope and confidence in the truth of God's message found in Romans 8, 12 through 25? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.